Let's get into the word. Let me recap Acts chapter 3 a little bit, because I know we skipped a Wednesday because we was at the bonfire roasting hot dogs and marshmallows, and that was fun. We'll do that again. I got a date planned for February 3rd. We'll do that. I just see if y'all listening. Just see if y'all listening. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Peter and John walked, you know, was walking the temple, and there was a crippled man there. And he'd been crippled his whole life, couldn't walk. And he looked at them and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you." And he spoke the word of God to them and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And in that name, he rose up and he walked. And all the people saw it. And what happened, they began to come to Peter and John and say, "Hey, how'd you do that? What's your trick, man? I know that man. I know he was a real crippled. What happened? How'd you heal him?" And he said, "Don't look at me like I'm somebody special. It is the same Jesus whom you crucified, who died and rose again, who's healed this man. By the power of that name is this man alive, walking and made whole." And so he gave all credit to God for the healing. So all the people that heard him began to believe in this Jesus and believe what they said, and more was added to the church. More people believed. So he talked to the people, and they were believing, and they were following. So now I pick up in chapter 4, verse 1. We're continuing chapter 3. Verse 4 is really a continuation of chapter 3 story. "As they spake unto the people," talking about Peter and John, "as they spake to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Do a little explaining here of who the Sadducees are and the Pharisees and the captain of the temple. The captain of the temple was the second person right under the high priest whose job was to keep order in the temple. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were two different people. They had kind of different beliefs and different ideologies. We'll call them Democrats and Republicans, okay, just to do it that way. And so we won't say which one's which because I ain't about to start that fire. We'll just say, we'll use that for example. But the Pharisees were the ones that they did believe in a resurrection, and they believed in life after the grave. They did not like the Romans at all, and they were keepers of the law. They really believed in keeping the integrity of theology of God's word. They believed in God. Just didn't really believe Jesus was the Messiah. And they believed in a Messiah that was coming, but they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. All right, so the Sadducees, they did not believe in a resurrection at all. And this is why they were so mad that they were preaching about this resurrected Christ, because they did not believe in a resurrection. And they didn't believe in life after the grave. And they owned a lot of the wealth of the country, and so they got along with the Romans because they wanted peace more than they honor the theology and the integrity of the word. And so that's what they wanted. So it's two separate groups we're talking about here between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they were all part of a group, what we would call today Congress or the Senate. There were 71 members in this council of Jerusalem, 71 members. And so here is who's approaching Peter and John. Some of these folks from this council is approaching them. So I want you to get the picture of what's happening. The big wigs of Jerusalem, the officials, the political leaders, are now approaching them, and they're beginning to question what they're talking about and why they're preaching that way. And the persecution begins right here. Verse 2, "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Aren't you so glad that we believe in a resurrection? Aren't you thankful that we know there's life beyond this? I'm so grateful to know that what the Bible says, that Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept, which means that there's a pattern following Christ, talking about us, that just as Jesus physically died and rose to life again, so shall we have newness of life, just like Christ had. And that's the greatest promise we have as Christians, and what separates us from so many other teachings, is that we believe in a resurrection as far as an eternal life beyond the grave. And I'm not making light of this, but I'm not talking about coming back as a grasshopper or coming back as a frog. I'm talking about that we will walk into the sonship of God. That we will take on what Romans tells us, that the whole creation is groaning. You know, right now the pattern of things is all out of whack. Not just with people, but with creation, with weather patterns, with animal world. Everything's out of whack. Everything, nothing is like it's supposed to be because of the product of sin that's on the earth. But there's a day, that's why creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, because when that happens, then all will be well again, and all will be perfect again, and all will be right again. That's why we're longing for more. That's why every person, no matter how much money you got, how famous you are, how rich you are. They're all seeking something beyond where they're at. They know there's something more because Jesus, I really believe, has put that resurrection understanding inside of every human being. So they were greedy. They were preaching resurrection from the dead. They didn't believe in it. So verse 3, they, talking about the leaders, they laid hands on them. In other words, they took them into custody, and they put them in hold. They put them in a holding cell till the next day, for it was now evening. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, Peter already had a good day back at Pentecost. Remember in Acts chapter 2? 3,000? Now we got another 5,000? You're talking about multiplication. Something's happening here. They are believing the word. See, the word means nothing to any of you unless you believe it. Don't mean anything. You can read his Bible all you want. Just like Nancy Rose talking, that man could open that Bible and say, well, she said open the good book. Well, you know what? I'll open it, but I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe nothing, it's not going to happen for you. You've got to have faith and believe that God's word is true. And once you have that faith, this is the truth of God. This is his word. It begins to manifest in your life in a very tangible way. In other words, if you believe that you are truly more than a conqueror through Christ, if you truly believe that by his stripes you are healed, if you truly believe that your strength cometh from the Lord, then you'll begin to walk that way and live that way every single day. You'll walk up realizing I have the power of the risen God living in me. It's not something that I just sing, something I just say. It's something that I am. It's something I believe. It's something I walk in. It's part of my daily life because it's real. Way down, as the old song, down in my bones. It's real. And you can't get away from it. So you've got to believe the word. And they believe what they heard. Now, some of these 5,000, I'm sure, were there that day when old Pilate was saying, okay, which one you want me to let go? Roger or Chuck? Roger is Jesus of Nazareth. You're welcome. Chuck is the old murderer. He's old skank, old sleazebag. Which one you want released? We want Roger. The word of God said, Pilate, we want Roger. He even said, are you sure? What's Roger done to you? What's this man Jesus done to you? Here's a murderer. Here's a man who's done nothing wrong but do good things. And you want him released? Yep. Some of those 5,000, I'm sure, were there that day when that took place and were part of the problem. But now they've heard the word. And how do they hear the word? It wasn't just hearing the word here. They had to hear it here. Because what happens, the Holy Spirit breathes on that word and makes it alive. It's not just dormant words. You know, Mary had a little lamb. Da, 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 da. It's not just words. It's something that comes inside of you that word is magnified to where you believe, yes, I really do believe there was a Jesus. And I do believe he was born of a virgin. I do believe he walked on water and healed the sick and raised the dead. And I do believe what the Bible says, that he died so I might live, that he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's me. I'm part of that saving grace. I'm part of that world he's talking about. No matter where I've been, what I've done, none of that matters. No matter what gutter I've lied in, how many people I've hurt or abused, it doesn't matter. He died for the world, and I'm part of that world, and I believe his love is for me, and I believe his grace is for me, and I believe he paid the price. These men and women that heard it, they believed the words. You know what happened? The damage had already been done in front of all those council members. It done been done. It's out of control now, like a wildfire in California. Once it gets started, it burns acres and acres and acres. It's already started burning because it says they took them, put them in jail, but some had already believed. So the cat was out of the bag. And you can't put it. You ever try to put a cat back in a bag? That ain't good. Verse 5. It came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, the senators, the congressmen, the governors, the preachers and the priests and the bishops, and Ananias the high priest, and Sophias and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked. Now picture this. Here's all these leaders of Jerusalem who have got these two young men who's been preaching Jesus in the middle of this little conference circle. And they began to question them. We see that on TV not long ago, right? Began to question them and put all this pressure on these two young men. Here was their question. By what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and you elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you, Mr. Senator, whom you, Mr. Congressman, crucified, whom God raised from the dead, Mr. Sadducee, who you don't believe, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. You talking about some boldness. Now, we got to think about this. Anybody go to the pumpkin festival last Saturday downtown? Me and Melanie went. Some of y'all go down there? Think about this. You're in the middle of downtown Statesville. People everywhere. And the county commissioners and the elected officials and the attorneys and all these people and the DA or whoever, they surround me and Melanie at the square in downtown Statesville. And they ask me and Melanie in front of all these people, that man was healed. Where'd the power come from? And I declare it at the town square, by the name of Jesus Christ, has this man been made whole. It is no power of my own. There's no magic trick here. It is simply the risen Savior whom you crucified that has made this man whole. He was giving all glory, all honor, all credit to the name of Jesus. Now, remember, a name in that time meant more than just identifying who somebody belonged to. A name identified what they were, the content of who they really were. And so, when we say the name of Jesus, we're not just saying Jesus of Galilee. We're not just using that name as a Savior hanging on a cross. We're using all that Jesus is. He's the Lamb of God, the King of Kings. He's the head of all things. He's over every principality, over every power. He's over everything. When we invoke the name of Jesus, there's no name higher. There's no name greater. There's nothing more powerful than that name. It covers all things. Everything in the world's under that heading because he's King over all. So when we invoke that name, we're invoking much more than just a good old Christmas story or Easter story. We're invoking who he is, the risen forever reigning King of Kings. So when I use that name, think about in the world how people use their names. You know, I guarantee when a cop pulls certain people over, they get away with it because of who they are. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Rothenberger. I didn't see you. Hope you can do good tomorrow night. Just slow down, brother. Slow down, Ben. Slow down. Thank you, officer. Let me get pulled. I'll tell you how my story goes. I got pulled going to Wilkesboro one day. I was going to preach one Sunday up in Wilkesboro, my home church. Going up 115, getting pretty close. I was running a little bit late. I never do that. For some reason, I was running late. And so I was speeding a little bit, not bad. I mean, I've never been a speeder. Just, you know, I'm one of those 10-mile-an-hour people over, maybe 15. Not bad. But anyway, so I'm going up 115. Cop pulls me over. Trooper comes over, goes to my door. How you doing? I have my tie on, my Bible on my seat, you know. Was you with me, Melanie? I think you might be with. So he pulled me, and I told him, I said, well, so I'm a preacher. I'm on the way to church to preach. He goes, well, you ought to know better than shit. That's his response. I mean, I tried to use the preacher card, you know what I'm saying? The holy water to, you know, you know, something. But no, didn't matter that, Mr. Trooper. I didn't get by with nothing. Said, you should have known better. And I should have. I'm like, man, must not have been a Christian. I don't know. I'm just saying. But we know that certain people get away with things because of their name, because of who they are. Think about the name of Jesus. Can't nobody touch that. Man, we elevate so many people, athletes, musicians, movie stars, world leaders, and, you know, whatever. And there ain't no name. As a great of a man, and to me one of the greatest character men that you read about was Billy Graham. But his name don't touch the name of Jesus. Don't touch it. Don't even scar the board of it. So when you invoke the name of Jesus, you know what? When you invoke the name of Jesus, you're invoking unlimited power. If I pray for somebody, say, Lord, in the name of Meredith. Sorry, I can't think of last night. Lord, I pray for Melanie right now in the name of Margie Meredith. That's pretty limited. Especially if she had her. I'm playing. That's pretty limited. But man, when I pray for Melanie in the name of Jesus, that is unlimited power being unleashed. Our name limits who we are, but he's an unlimited source. That's where the power's at. So they're declaring these leaders by that name, he is made whole. Then it says in verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught. In other words, this is the stone you rejected. This is the person you rejected, which has now become the head of the corner. The one you rejected now head of the church. You know, the one you said didn't matter is now the head of all things. He's now the head of the kingdom, and he's the head and the leader and the only hope of your salvation. You rejected him, but now he's the head. Verse 12 is a very powerful verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. None. For there is no other name under heaven given among men, that name of Jesus, whereby we must be saved. No other path. There's no other way. There's no other method, as some people want to say. There's many paths to God. It's pretty clear there's only one path to God. Care who says it. Remember Oprah Winfrey years ago talked about that on TV. There are different paths to get to God. No, there's not. There's one path to get to God. Through the blood of Jesus. And I don't know why so many are so resistant of that. If there was a fire break out in a sanctuary and it was bad, it was just all back there where y'all were sitting, and the only clear path was this little slice right here to get out the door, and I told everybody, hey, this is the only way? I'll find me another way. You wouldn't be that idiotic. You would come down the path that was clear. Hey, y'all, here's the only way to safety. Here's the only path out of this church without getting harmed. Come this way. But when it comes to the cross, so many say, I'll do it my way. If I just do good stuff, be a good person. Look, the Bible says there ain't none of you good, right? None of us is good. Even Jesus said he wasn't good when he told the man, ain't none good but God. I mean, he's trying to point, look, there's nobody that's good except him. And so for us to think there's any other way, yet there's so much resistance to that, and there was with the Sadducees, and there was with the Pharisees, because they believe in the law, they believe in legalism, they believe in this, believe in that, and didn't know the Messiah was already came, already died, already risen, already ascended, and they're still waiting on him to come. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, knowing our Messiah has died, rose, ascended, and we will one day be with him forever. He is the only way. And the Bible is clear. That's what it says right there in your Bible in Acts chapter 4:12. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus came to reconcile the world back to himself. If I can only know that's true, you've got to let the Holy Spirit in enough to speak to you and trust it and believe it. Because I understand that rebellion rises up in our hearts, doubt rises up in our hearts, but the more we read this word and the more we trust God, people all the time say, I try to read the Bible, it's hard. I know parts of it are a little, it's not the easiest reading sometimes. But I promise you, as you begin to open this word with an open heart and say, Lord, show me what I need to see. Because I don't need to know, y'all need to know what I see. You don't say, Lord, let me see what Pastor James sees. No, let me see what I see. Because see, Dee's Thursday tomorrow is going to go a lot different than Shirley's Thursday. And Shirley's Thursday is going to go a lot different than Danny's Thursday, even though they work together. It's going to go a lot different. And then Gail's Thursday and Chuck's Thursday and Nathan's Thursday. And all your Thursdays tomorrow are going to be different. So as you open up his word, God, give me Thursday today what I need from me. And God can take a verse that you read and just open up a revelation to you that's just for you. That's the beauty of God's word. And I love that. No other way to salvation but through that name. 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now I want to talk about this. They weren't stupid people. This simply means that they were not educated. They were not raised in the rabbi schools. They weren't priests. They weren't learned men of religion. They hadn't been trained. They weren't seminary people. They weren't any of that. They were just regular guys that was with Jesus. And they saw him. And they walked with him. And they knew him. And they believed in him. How else could you explain two uneducated, non-religious men declaring this kind of word with that kind of boldness? You know, you can always tell when someone really knows what they're talking about, right? They say it with authority. You can say. You can always just tell when someone really knows what they're talking about, when they really believe it, they say it with authority. They believe this to the point that in front of all these officials, in front of all these people, they are declaring that Jesus is the one that healed this man. And they're not pulling back, and they're not ashamed. And they're not worried about what we call PC today, right? Political correctness. It don't matter. We have been so paralyzed today by political correctness in everything that we do. We can't say anything without offending anyone. It is absolutely amazing. I mean, they were offering, after the last presidential election, you probably heard this, they were offering therapy for those that were Hillary supporters. They were offering therapy for those people. They had a breakdown. I'm just saying, you know, I've never had a breakdown whoever got elected. I didn't break down last night. I won't break down in 2 years. It don't matter. Because I know who done broke it down. JC up in the house. That's who broke it down. Jesus is Lord. But man, we got to coddle everybody now. We can't say nothing about nothing because it's just a fit. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Every time the restaurant, my mom's been talking, I'll say something. She goes, shh, what? I'm not saying anything wrong. If they get offended, it's their own fault they get offended. Look, I know I'm overweight and I have less hair than I used to. Y'all can say all you want. I mean, I know it. Look at that overweight, half bald guy. I can't get offended. It's truth. When it's truth, it sets you free. So you learn to accept it. But hey, they didn't worry about the outcome of their response because they were obeying as the Holy Spirit gave it to them and they trusted God enough. You know what? It's the truth. I'm willing to live with it. I'm going to declare the truth, and whatever happens, it happens. And we'll see what happens here in a minute. No political correctness here, just declaring the truth of God's word. Verse 13, they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled that these men couldn't believe what they were hearing. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amazing. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What could they say? The man had definitely, he was healed. That was a miracle. They couldn't deny it. All the people saw it. They were believing it now. And they were kind of in a crossfire. What do we do? The people believe the people know he's healed. They've already talked about Jesus. They're responding to Jesus. They're starting to believe in this Jesus. What do we do as leaders? Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go outside the council, they conferred among themselves. They sent the two boys out. They had a little private meeting to see what they could do about this uprising of this Jesus preaching. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Wouldn't that be great if our government was that honest today? We can't deny it. But that it spread no further, this part here just cracks me up, that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So here's our solution, okay? We're going to call him back, George. Yeah, Frank, let's get him back here. Here's what we'll do, okay? Huddle in, here's what we'll do. We'll call him back in here. We're going to tell him, okay, we'll let you go this time, but you can't preach no more in that name. Did you see Peter on the day of Pentecost? Did you see Peter and John just now? I mean, a man over 40 years old had been crippled his whole life and never walked. Everybody knew he hadn't walked. Was now walking, and not just walking. The Bible says in chapter 3, he was leaping and dancing and praising God. So what's a little old, I'm barely getting along, walk? That's right. He was leaping, and he was jumping, and he was praising God. You really think they're going to shut up, Peter? And you think they're going to shut the Holy Ghost up with a little threat? You can't preach that no more. Now, I don't know in our time, our lifetime, if any of this kind of persecution will ever come to America, to our churches, to our communities. I don't know. But I know that these leaders were trying to stop this movement because they saw it was a movement. But you can't stop the moving of God. You can't stop his plan. You can't stop his purpose. No matter what you do, you can't muzzle and stop God from doing what he's going to do. He's greater and stronger than all of our plans. So here, let's see what they do. They talk about what they're going to do. Verse 17 or verse 18. So they called them back out, said, "Come here, boys, talk to you." And they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. My wife did a prayer at her nursing graduation. They asked Melanie to pray at the nursing ceremony back in 2009. So I was so proud of her. You know, my little baby out of all the class she got, so they want her to do a public prayer. And she did. Now, how do you think Melanie closed that prayer out? Not in your name. Not in God's name. In Jesus' name. Three strikes. You got it. You're close. Melanie closed out in Jesus' name. To Melanie's knowledge, they've not had a closing prayer since. At Mitchell College, they stopped it. They hadn't had one since 2009. And I really think, and Melanie thinks, it's because she closed in Jesus' name. That's awful ironic, isn't it? Because she's went to several since. They've not done any closing prayer. Maybe it's just a coincidence, like, you know what? This year we just won't do it. But you got to wonder, did her closing in Jesus' name invoke something? Or maybe somebody complained. Maybe somebody said, "Well, I don't believe in Jesus' name. We can't do that. We got to be, you know." Look, I'm going to tell you something. We need to quit being trophy Christian like we do trophy sports. I told you my story, my dad. I tried for basketball at Ebenezer School. I didn't make it. You know, I know I wouldn't make it, right? Couldn't jump. Couldn't really shoot that good. I wasn't tall. I wasn't that fast. Why'd you try out? Because I wanted to, okay? That's why. But I didn't make it. I got cut. I didn't make it. You had to try out. We've lost that now, Chuck, where everybody don't try out on everything anymore. You know, you're just part of the team. If you finish 10th place, you get a trophy. Participation. Okay? All right. Yeah. Because our kids become such shell-shallowed kids. And if we don't do something about that, they're not going to know how to be adults. Because I'm going to tell you, life kicks you in the teeth. Ray, life can be hard, Brother Keenan, as an adult. Hard. And so the way you're raising your 10-year-old now, 12-year-old now, you got to think you're training them to be an adult. They're not going to always be 10 or 12 years old. They're going to be an adult one day. And what are they going to do when you're gone? If you're not training them, they won't be able to stand. And so I see that. And with Christians, sometimes we're like, "Oh, well, we can't say that now. We can't talk about this now." Peter and John didn't care. They told people that they knew didn't believe in the resurrection. They knew didn't believe in Jesus' Messiah. They didn't care. This man, Jesus, not only did they care, they called him out. "You crucified him. Man, the one you put on the cross is the one that made this man whole. The one that you stood there and cheered, 'Crucify, crucify, crucify.' That's the very one that made this man whole. That's the very God you deny. The cornerstone, the rock that you rejected, is now the head of the church. This is that Jesus." And they were bold. They didn't care what anybody thought. They didn't care what anybody said. Think about it. 5,000 believed. Wasn't that worth a good message? If I knew every Sunday morning I could say what I really wanted sometimes, and I would get 20 saved or 20 changed and lose 3 because of it, let the 3 go. If the 20 are changed. We got to think about where we're at right now and get bold again and not be ashamed like Nancy Rose to bow her head and say her blessing in public. Some people are too ashamed to even do that now, because they don't want to draw attention or they're awkward about it. Why are you awkward about thanking God for your food? Well, for God, you wouldn't have no food. I mean, my Lord. We need to get back to being like Peter and John, to where we say, you know what? Now, I'm talking about that. Understand, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that. Him being full of the Holy Ghost. You don't just go, you know, Walmart with a burning flag. Woo, Jesus! You know, you got to use some sense. But when the Holy Ghost moves, man, don't stifle that. Let it roll. Let it come out. There's a reason that you're speaking in that way. There's a reason in that moment that word's coming out of your mouth. There's a reason God's giving you that thought in that moment. It's to be applied in that situation for that person. You don't know what might happen. They go talk about you, sure. Them young boys talk about Nancy Rose, yeah, sure. You think, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But look what, you know what? They took notice. And she planted a seed. And you know what? They may think about her face later on and say, you know what? She was a lot older than us. Way older. This place. And you know what? As she says that God was with her and got her through life, you know what? Maybe she's got something. You never know what seed she planted by that one moment. Be bold. Don't be ashamed. Peter at first was ashamed. Remember, they said, you want them Jesus followers? Nope, not me. He denied them. You ashamed? Nope, denied him a second time. Jesus told me he denied him 3 times, and he did. But here's the great thing about God. Even though Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times, Peter was the very first one when the Holy Ghost fell upon them in the upper room that came out with boldness. The one that was a chicken, he became a bull. The one that was a coward became a lion. The one that was weak became strong, because that's what the Holy Ghost does. It changes you. It emboldens you. It empowers you. And you don't care about the consequence because you know God's going to take care of it. And you know that he's in it. I'm about to preach my own self happy tonight. Good gracious. Next verse. So let's see what their response was. Okay, we're going to let you go, boys, but don't preach in that name no more, okay? We appreciate it. Bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you can judge. You can judge that. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, and I wonder what that was really like, further threatened them. I guess they just kept trying to bully them. I don't know. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For this man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now, I want to talk about, just for a minute, about, it says, verse 20, you know, or verse 19, do we listen to you? We listen to God? You judge. I absolutely believe in this, and I want to make this clear, especially after election night. Everybody's got fresh mood. Some of y'all are really mad. Some of you are probably really happy. Some of you may not care at all. But I absolutely believe in civil government. It's ordained by God. The Bible's clear on that. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that both sides of the parties do. But I do know it's ordained by God. And I do know that my job as a Christian and as a citizen of America is to obey the best of my abilities, the laws of this land. Just because I don't agree with them don't mean I don't obey them. I've paid my taxes, believe me, every year. Believe me. I don't think I should have to sometimes, like you all do. But I do. I don't like to, but I do. And I've had to owe taxes. The last few years I've had to actually owe taxes. I got taxed out and I still had to send several thousand in. I hated it. But you know what? That's just how it is. That's not violating God's word, me paying taxes. Now, what does violate God's word is if the government issues an ordinance to where, as a pastor, I get a certified letter from the federal government saying you cannot preach anymore in your church in the name of Jesus. You must preach in the name of God or the Supreme Being or the Almighty, but you cannot ever use the word Jesus Christ again in your church, or you will be fined or you will be closed down. That becomes an issue to where I have to either obey God's word or obey the government in place and let them judge that. These are things, just like with same-sex marriage. I know for some people, it's a very hot topic. For a lot of people, they are very sensitive to this issue. And I know that I had a person leave recently because I just mentioned it. Y'all know me. I don't ever bash on it. I don't ever talk about it a lot. But I come across it one Sunday talking about it, and they got upset because I talked about it. Well, whoopee-doo. It's in the Word of God. And there's things that have to be addressed. And when America decides overnight while I'm sleeping in my bed that all 50 states now have legal rights that two same sexes can marry and get all married benefits, and I had no vote in that, I had no say in that, but they cram it down my throat and I've got to accept it. You know what? There comes a something, you got to draw a line sometimes. Okay? I love all people, and I do, and I have counseled many homosexual and lesbian women. I've counseled them. I've talked to them through the years. And I love them, and they can walk in this church, and I'm going to love them here. But I'm not going to stand up here and say it's justified and that it's okay. And I'm certainly, if they say, Pastor, if you're going to stay an ordained minister, part of your way to stay ordained, you must marry all couples or you'll lose your ordination. We'll just meet in the woods and preach or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not going to do it, because that's where it becomes a violation of what God's word says versus what civil government says. And so I believe in that. I think it's a powerful statement. That's what Peter and John are saying. Say, you know what? You judge whether we listen to you or listen to God. We're all about following government. But you go tell us we can't preach the name of Jesus? That's violating God's word. We can't do that, Mr. Pilate, or Mr. Senator, Mr. Sadducee, Mr. Pharisee, Mr. whatever they are. You know, we're not going to do it. And I think that as people hear the truth of God, even our younger generation, as they hear the truth of God, they'll realize. Because they're being so programmed with that if we are against anybody, we're hateful. That if we say something about anybody, we're being bad. No. There's things. Here's the deal. Here's how I feel, church. This is another thing I feel about. We're supposed to pay taxes, right? So if y'all ain't paying taxes and I am, I'm mad at y'all. Because I got to pay them. There's things that we should be honoring as a whole. Because that's the right thing to do. And I'm going to tell you something. God will honor the integrity of your heart. And when you do things the right way, things work out. We see a miracle of a man over 40 years old, never walked before. And they were all upset about it. They were all up in arms about it. And here's the first persecution. They actually, man, they threw these boys in jail for a night. I mean, most of the time you go to jail for, you know, other things, not preaching Jesus. I mean, they put their hands on them, put them in a holding cell to figure out what to do with them just because they were preaching that this man was healed by the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then God, of course, vindicated them and released them and let them go. But that's not the end of the story. As we get through the books of Acts, we're going to see, it's a very exciting book. We're going to see so many things at the beginning of the church, persecutions, blessings, miracles, how God moved. And I want to encourage you to be bold in this generation and not be ashamed. Now, don't be hateful, church. There's a big difference. Don't be hateful. Man, I'm going to accept anybody that walks in this church that I'm going to love. And there's some things like any other human being that bothers me more than other things bother me. I know some folks are real, you know, if somebody's got a tattoo, they just go all psycho. That's something that don't bother me. Some things do bother me. I saw a boy yesterday, his ears were so low to the feet because he had them big old gauges in his ear that his ear loop touched his foot. And you know what I'm saying? It was like, I don't know what, listen, that's your thing, I guess, but man, why do you want to take your ear God gave you and destroy it? I don't understand that. It don't make you no less saved. It just makes you get looked at an awful lot when you walk by. Say, what? I just say it. Piercings on her face. I know. Everybody has their thing. I'm just saying, we need, when it comes to the cause of Christ and our faith, not be ashamed and be bold that we believe Jesus is Lord and there's no other way. There's no other salvation but through Christ. And these men believe that. They preached it. 5,000 more now has joined the church. 5,000 more have heard the word. 5,000 more are now following Christ. And these leaders have an epidemic on their hand. Their wildfire is out now. What do we do? Next week, we pick up in chapter... Oh, no, we continue chapter 4. That's right. We still got more chapter 4 to read. Yeah. And then chapter 5 is really exciting. I got to get Don here for that chapter. Chapter 5 is really exciting. We see a couple of people that try to deceive the Holy Spirit. We'll see how that turned out. So, whew, bad. All right. I think that's my message for tonight. If you're interested in doing the Christmas play, let Randy know if you would. If you're interested tonight, tell him, hey, I'll be a part of it. And we'll start practicing next Wednesday. We do need some adults as well as children. So if you want to be a part of it, it'd be fun. Be a good way for you to interact and do something for the church and serve. So, yeah, darling. Go ahead, Abby.